Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. It's now the 8:30 hour. Time for words of wisdom, plain and simple. I'm your host, Diane Adams, a servant of God. Always an honor and a privilege to come before the people of God as we share the word of God together. All believers are part of the body of Christ. One body, many members. Each of us have a specific purpose and a design that God included in his master plan. And I just want to thank God for allowing me this opportunity to come before his people each week as we study the word of God. And I have to thank each and every one of you for showing up week after week. It's a blessing and an honor, and I thank you. Well, we have so much going on for plenty of us and not all of us. We have been waiting for the presidential election for 4 years. Yesterday it came. Today it's gone. No solid conclusion has been met. But with all uncertainties around us in this world, one thing that is consistent, that is true, that's everlasting, that's faithful, that's loving and kind, is our Heavenly Father. He don't change. He's the same yesterday, today, hallelujah, and forevermore. Our lesson tonight is coming out of the book of Matthew. I pray you have your Bibles, the 13th chapter. We're going to expound on the first through the eighth verse. And the title of our lesson is The Parable of the Full Soil. The Parable of the Full Soil. And tonight I ask you, what type of soil are you? You're going to understand where this is coming from as we explore in the Word together. But at this time, I'm going to play a song, and I think it's so appropriate. Title of the song is Don't Quit, Y'all. There's so many adversities and tribulations and trials that each and every one of us are facing every day. But you have to hold on to God's unchanging hand. And this song is saying, don't quit.
Listen. The economy's down. Price has seemed so high. Seems like all I ever do is try and try, yeah. Try to make ends meet. Try to pull myself above so I can see. But every now and then it seems so helpless, hopeless. But I'm a living, breathing testimony of what God can do. If you hold long enough, He will see you through.
Cause I'm going to end up
being sad. This is, I want to encourage you, whatever you do,
whatever you do,
just don't. Check this out. I've got my own set of challenges, yeah, yeah, yeah. And my friendships sometimes they wear a little thin. I even began to wonder if my own family is out or in. I'm trying to make sense of my life. I'm trying to overcome. Give to say about it. Whatever
you do.
I was looking at CNN, hey, but I can't let that bother me or hinder me.
Whatever you do.
Yeah. Look at somebody and say, don't quit. You won hallelujah away from your breakthrough. Don't quit. You won thank you, Jesus, away from your promotion. Don't quit. You won glory to God away from your next level. Don't quit. You won bless your holy name away from God blowing your mind.
That song is so true. You know, things are so topsy-turvy, upside down. In the world today, and I'm going to say the world, not even just the United States, if y'all look at the local news all over. But as the songwriter told us, just don't quit. You might be one step away from your breakthrough. Come on, y'all. We got to keep pressing towards the mark of the prize of the high call, which is Christ Jesus. And we have very good field position. It has already been declared for the believers. Our salvation is locked in and sealed by the Holy Spirit. And nothing can separate us from the love of God. No heights, no depths, no things to come or things present. Nothing and nobody can separate us from the love of God. And that should give us encouragement and hope to hold on. You know, we look at the world we live in and everything we could think about is in this world. You know, and sometimes that could keep you from your blessing, because when God went to deliver Lot and his family from Sodom and Gomorrah, everything that they had was in Sodom and Gomorrah. And, you know, the Spirit told them, don't look back. And Lot's wife, maybe because everything she had was in there. And she looked back. And you guys know the story. The scripture says she turned to a pillar of salt. But I'm just encouraging us to just go forward. No matter who become the president, God is in control. Come on, y'all. No matter who have the Senate, God is in control. The Senate has been in control for a long time. It haven't killed us. We still wake up in the morning and we do what we need to do. We can't set our sights on man and the things of the world, because the Bible teaches us that man will let us down, not sometime, but every time. But I encourage you, in the midst of everything that's going on in our lives, hold on to the confession of your faith. God didn't bring us this far to leave us. And God said he will do everything necessary for his children. And I believe it. And you have to be a leader to be able to achieve it. So hold on, my brothers and sisters. Today is the first Wednesday in the month of November. And you guys know every first of the month, our prayer warrior come and pray for our prayer list. She not only pray for it on the first Wednesday, but she go to God's throne of grace daily for the people on the prayer list. And I'm just going to ask if anybody have anything they would like to add to the prayer list. I'm going to take this time and let you press the one button. And you could say if you need someone to be added on the prayer list, we'll take this time and do that. If anybody have anyone they need to add to the prayer list, you could press the one button on your phone at this time. Well, I have one caller. Caller, your number is 504-2088. You could state your prayer request.
My prayer request is to add the Bridges family, Dallas family, the Stewart family, and we pray for our family already. Those are the three families. Thank you so much.
So you say the Bridges family, the House
family. The
Stewart
family and the House family, yes.
House, Stewart, and Bridges. Thank you so much, Tamika.
Thank you, T. Diane.
They will be added on the list and be lifted up in prayer at this time. Anyone else have any prayer requests they would like to make? Well, everybody must be good. Because the Bible says that iron sharpens iron. Caller, your number is 205-7951. Do you have a prayer request for tonight?
Yes, ma'am. Minister Diane, I ask that the group that the Bird's family has traveling grace on tomorrow. My grandchildren are coming to see me, and it's been a whole year. I ask for traveling grace as they journey from Mississippi to here tomorrow. And I also pray for my sister Elizabeth.
Praise God. Thank you so much, Sister Angelique.
Thank you. Praise God.
Are there any other prayer requests? So at this time, we're going to call our prayer warrior for words of wisdom, plain and simple, our very own Sister Pam Wynn. She's going to come and lift up everybody on our prayer list.
Amen.
It's good to be on the prayer list, you guys. And Sister Pam, please pray for my family because, you know, many of you know and some of you don't know, but my brother passed away on Saturday, and the family is doing real well, and I pray that they continue in reference to his transition. So lift up my family in prayer for the loss of our dear brother.
Amen.
I turn everything
evening,
over to you.
Good evening, everybody. Today is Wednesday, November the 4th, 2020, the first Wednesday of November, and the prayer list is thus: Jim and Kathy Hartman, Minister Diane and family, the McBride family, the family of Sister Esther Lucas, Mary Hodges, Lance Brown, the Martin family, the Johnson siblings, Tammy Ditto, Maddie Lala and family, Devonda Caples, Maisha Bryan, Shamika Alexander, Beverly Ferguson, Elizabeth Smith, Cedric Edwards, Rolanda Lacey, the Joseph family, Gwen Ellis, Florida Kazier, Adrian and Marie, Minister Tommy Banks, Patrice Oliver, Minister Carol Bridges, Olea Williams, Devin Allen, Sharon, Nene, Jasmine, Sheila, the the Moses and Mitchell family, the Little family, Tierra McKenty, James Olive, Sister Amita, Gwen Mullen, the Burrell family, Leona Buckner, the Prevost family, the Lewis family, Marguerite Singleton, Ruth Taylor, Raymond Reed, the Bridges family, the Stewart family, the House family, the Bird family on Traveling Grace, and Sister Elizabeth. First giving glory and honor to the Holy Trinity, to you, Minister Diane, and to you, my brothers and sisters in Christ. Father God, we come tonight thanking you for life, thanking you for all that you've done for us, for all that you're doing for us, and for all that you're still to do. Father God, I'm here on tonight lifting up the names of each and everyone on our prayer list and each and everyone on this prayer line on tonight. Lord, we need you. We all standing in the need of a prayer right now, Lord Jesus. Some of us need you for one thing, and some of us need you for another. Because, Lord, we know that you're in control of all things. But you know, all of us, what we stand in the need of. Because you belong, we all belong to you, and you made all of us, so you know all about us. Lord, my prayer on tonight is that you keep us covered under your precious blood. Close us, O Lord Jesus, in our right minds. Lord, please direct our every path in the way that you desire for us to grow. Keep watch over all of our household, Lord, day and night. Protect our children. Protect our grandchildren. Lord, we be so careful to give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise in the sweet, holy name of Jesus Christ. Amen, amen, and thank God. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you so much, my sister. It's a beautiful thing for to be lifted up in prayer unto God. Because prayer changes things. I want to let you know, Sister Pam, you could take Reverend Tommy Banks' name off because he had the coronavirus and he came through, hallelujah. And when he got through with the coronavirus, it ruined his kidney and he was on dialysis for months. He called me today and told me, gave me a report that he no longer needs dialysis.
Praise the Lord.
And he's doing really good. The corona couldn't stop
Praise
him or block him. Dialysis couldn't stop him. And I'm not talking about no young man.
Hallelujah.
But he has been, his kidney is functioning fully. And he don't have
Praise
any signs.
The Lord.
He was on a respirator for weeks.
My Lord.
And he came through.
Thank you, Jesus. Glory be to God.
But he had to go on dialysis. But now he's recovered and his kidney is evidently healed and he no longer needs dialysis. God
thank
is in a blessing business.
Yes, he is. Thank you, Lord.
And he wanted
Jesus.
To thank everyone who had been praying for him. Prayers change things, y'all.
Ooh, yes,
you might
Lord.
Have something
Thank
going
you.
On in your life, and you know you need prayer. And you might not feel like praying for yourself. That's why there's a prayer line. That's why there's a prayer list.
Yes.
Why wouldn't you, if it's necessary or could help, put your name on the list?
Yes, Lord.
The list is always available, and we always, not just on Wednesdays, but all during the week. And I want to thank you, Sister Pam, for your faithfulness.
You're quite.
And we're going to get into the lesson. And this lesson is called The Parable of the Full Soil. And the question I asked tonight, what type of soil are you? And before I start doing this and doing a background, and you could look at that topic, and let me explain something to you. Jesus is teaching us in this book of Matthew. Now, Jesus is putting emphasis, and he's using a parable to tell a story to make it more clear. But Jesus wants us to know each one of us is one type of soil that this parable is talking about. Keep that in mind, because if you could identify yourself, you know, you'll know where you are. But I come to tell you tonight, a parable has been called an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Jesus taught in parables because it gives and it banishes to the hearers. You see, parables are stories and easier to remember. They give us food for thought, and it should give you a desire to want to study to see what the meaning is all about. You see, Jesus uses things that are familiar to us to tell the story so that it would be easier for us to understand. You see, tonight I'm talking about a parable about a sower. And in this parable, the sower represents a farmer. And the seed he sows, and how they are received by the soil. You see, God always do it and make analogies. So we know we're talking about a farmer because a farmer sows seeds. But you see, the sower in this parable is a farmer which represents Jesus Christ. But not just Jesus, because we're talking about someone who sows. Come on, y'all. But he's not just talking about Jesus, but he's talking about his disciples. And it's anyone that teach, preach. And let me break it down a little bit further. And anyone who shares the gospel. Anyone. The gospel with others. So I got to ask you tonight, are you a sower? You see, the greatest commandment given to us by Jesus in Matthew 28:19-20, which say, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. That is the greatest commandment given to us by Jesus Christ. And verse 20 says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. You know, he's telling you what he wants you to do. And he's saying, while you're doing it, I'm right here with you. It's almost like he's saying, look, if you take care of my business, I'm going to take care of yours. You see, the seed, it's the word of God that's in this parable, the analogy. And the seed is planted to yield fruit for a harvest. Are you looking for a harvest? Or do you even think you get harvests? Or do you know if you need to plant seeds to receive a harvest? Are you just going through the motion and never even thought about seed planting and harvest time? But he wants us to know that whenever a seed is planted in the ground, they don't all give the same results everywhere or at the same time, since its fruitfulness depends on the soil where it falls. So I'm going to tell you who the soil is in this parable. You see, the soil is the people, the hearers of the word. So we, the people, are described as the soil in this parable. We will learn tonight that the problem, watch this, y'all, is not with the seed, because the seed represents the word of God. But where it falls and how the soil, which is us, receives it. So that's what we're going to talk about tonight. You see, this is a parable about four types of soil. So that's four types of people, which represent four types of people. And the Bible teaches us that each and every one of us fall in one of these categories. Check it out, Joe. You see, four types of soil that the seed fell upon, and four different responses to what was heard. And again, I'm going to ask you, what type of soil are you? And this is the main thing. Remember, we are the soil. The seed is the word of God. The teachers and Jesus is the sower. So the question I asked was, what type of soil are you? And the second question I'm going to ask you tonight is, what do you do with the word, the seed, once you receive it? See, that's what makes the difference with all of the people. So we're going to look at our scripture right now. I'm in the 13th chapter, and I'm going to read the first through the fourth verse. They said, the same day Jesus went out of the house and sat by the seaside, verse 2, and a great multitude was gathered together with him, so that he went into a ship and sat. And the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside. And the fowls of the air came and devoured them up. Jesus was on in a boat, and he was looking, and he began to teach, and he probably had a farmer out there. And in those days, a farmer used to take a sack and put it around his neck and bring it down, and he would dump all of the seeds in the like the little sachet thing he had. And, you know, as he walked, he would throw the seeds. They would throw the seeds. And some fell by the wayside. So what he's saying is, Jesus say that some of the seeds fell by the wayside. And the wayside was the paths where people walk and nothing could grow because the ground was too hard. Hallelujah. You might remember a path. I like to always put this in it to put you right in the place. You know when you were coming up and they had the neighborhood and they always had a shortcut to the store, a shortcut to the main street, and people started walking on it, and you could see a precise, specific path was made, because when the people keep walking on it, the grass ain't going to grow. The ground is going to get hard. So that's what they call a wayside. It's a path. You see, the ground became hard and no grass would grow because it was trampled. And you see, when a farmer threw the seeds, the farmer knew all of his seeds was not going to connect to the right soil. Come on, y'all. So everybody you share the word of God with ain't going to receive it. That didn't keep the farmer from sowing his seed, and it shouldn't stop you. You see, the seeds thrown would just lay on the surface. Now watch this. And the birds would come and eat the seeds off the ground. The seeds couldn't penetrate. The ground was too hard. Come on, y'all. But you see, the birds represent the devil. Jesus is trying to paint you a picture that if the word is coming to you and you allowing it to be on the wayside because you ain't doing nothing with it, Satan, which represents the bird, is going to come and snatch it up. If you come to Bible study every day of your life and you sit there and listen to everything, hope, I pray you have your Bible, but you get up and you go about your business, you no more think about what was being saved than a man in the moon. You see, Satan is always ready and willing to take that which has been given to you. He's waiting. And you know the old saying say, if you don't use it, you're going to lose it. And then you got to ask the question, is your head so hard? Hard head like a pad that's been trampled on and it has gotten hard and it's not stiff and it's, you know. Are your head, is your head so hard that you just hear and don't do? You see, these are people that even though they hear the word of God, they didn't even understand it because they're not doing anything with it. You see, there are people whom the word of God is veiled, a covered, and they cannot understand it. But watch what I'm fixing to tell you right now. It's not because the word is something too difficult to understand. Many times they come and say, Miss Diane, I read the Bible, but I don't understand it. What should I do? I say, baby, keep reading. But it's not that the word is something too difficult to understand, but because their hearts are calloused, hard, not permitting any growth of the seed, which is the word. Some people have been going to church all their life, and there is no growth. Come on, y'all. They just want to have it their way. They're still leaning to their own understanding. And I even looked up to see what Luke said about it. Luke, the 8th chapter and the 12th verse, those by the wayside are they that hear. Then comes the devil and take away the word out of their heart, lest they should believe and be saved. That's like plenty of people not saved. They done been in church. They almost walked down the aisle, but they stopped. They might think that they'd be giving up too much if they decide to follow God. Nah, they ain't finished doing what they're doing. Y'all know what I'm talking about. But I come to tell you tonight, the problem is not the seed, which is the word of God. It's the soil, which are the people. Again, what type of soil are you? Now we're going to go to the 5th chapter. We're going to read the 5th and the 6th. And the scripture says, some fell upon the stony places where they had not much earth. And forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. These seeds fell on the ground. They didn't have a lot of earth. So it sprung up. But you know, their roots couldn't get nowhere. And when the sun came up, they were scorched. And because they had no root, they withered away. So, see, the why they didn't have much soil, because it was thrown in stony places. You know, stony places is where the soil is thin, lying upon the rock shelves. On this ground, the seeds spring up quickly. How y'all know how some people go up and join church today and hallelujah, hallelujah, and maybe come back next Sunday, hallelujah, hallelujah, and you never see them again? See, they talking about these people here. Come on, y'all. They say that the seed fell on the ground and the seed came up quickly. They received with gladness because of the warmth of the soil. But the seed is unable to take root because of the rocky shelves. You see, the stony ground is comprised of people who hear a word, receive it immediately, and in fact with gladness. However, this does not last long. For when persecution, affliction arise, these people again immediately fall away. They are categorized as people that have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. They have learned how to hold on to the confession of their faith. Not sometime, all the time, in season, out of season, good times and bad times. You see, the Bible tells us you got to hold on because the race is not given to the swift or to the strong, but those who endure to the end. And we always have to hold on, y'all. We holding on not. We've been in a pandemic for 8 months. Many of the months we had police brutality and injustice, we lived under leaders that didn't have our best interests at heart. But we still here. Come on, y'all. You see, we got to hold on because we have to wait and be patient till our change comes. You see, the problem that finally caused their fall is that they are weak, and in times of trouble, they begin to worry and doubt. You see, when you begin to worry and doubt and have fear, that's when the devil brings things against you, and they could immediately fall. You see, their falling is not caused because the affliction is too heavy for them to bear. Because the scripture tells us that the afflictions will be light and certainly no more than we can bear. 1 Corinthians 10, 12, and 13. God said it, but he will always give us a way to escape. But instead, it is caused because they are not willing to show even the smallest resistance to the devil. There's a scripture in James, the 4th chapter and the 7th verse, say, resist the devil, and he has to flee. It's telling us for the resist the devil, and he has to flee. It don't tell you when the devil show up, you flee. God has given us enough righteousness, enough strength, enough power to stand tall in the midst of the storm. Resist the devil, and he has to flee. And then we have to stop telling God how big our problems are and start telling your problem how big your God is. And again, I ask you tonight, what type of soil are you? If we look at the 7th verse, some fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. Y'all know how they have them weeds in the ground. And sometimes something is growing. Even if you got a garden, you got to come and pull the weeds out. So don't check your flowers. Choke your flowers. You see, the among the thorns describes soil that is fertile. Perhaps too fertile because thorns grow there as well as fruit. The problem with this type of soil is that the word of God is kept in their heart along with other things, such as the cares of the world, which is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. They have not fully turned away from their old ways. These things finally act as thorns to the word's growth within you. You know, these things start choking you you know, you're putting all your eggs in the basket on a situation, a problem, or something like that. Don't you know God is bigger than that? Don't let the things of the world choke you. You can't control probably what you're worrying about, because if you could control it, you would have changed it. And I come to tell you tonight, people are going to be people. I don't care who they are. The Bible say man will let you down all the time. So why would you take and let that rob your joy? The situation, the circumstances, the this or the that or the this or the that. You see, what happens, you allow things to start choking you, and it makes you unfruitful. You see, you cannot serve two masters. God's not a God of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. You see, they only do the things of God when it's convenient or when it fits in their agenda. You know, you keep calling up and you're a part of whatever, the church or prayer line or whatever, and something knock on your door that you don't like the way it sounds, and you automatically slip down and you get in a state, and then you don't want to be around people, and you don't want to, you know, come on a line. You don't want to say nothing. But let me tell you one thing. God did not intend for us to go through nothing by ourselves. Nothing. So remember that. When the next wind blow your way. Our lights was out. We kept on trucking. But we must put the things of the kingdom of God first. And then all other things going to be added. If we apply this principle, other things will be added to us. But you got to be patient. You got to hold on and have faith. If we don't apply the things of God in the top position of our lives and allow our cares to take priority, then those things will strangle the word. What type of sorrow are you? Remember them, y'all. Y'all can do inventory on yourself. I'm not going to ask you to hold your hand up or nothing. And then we come to some fell on good ground and brought forth good fruit. Hallelujah. Some and hundredfold, and some 60-fold, and some 30. You see, the good soil is the fruitful soil of the full soil. Now, when you think of fruitful, you know, I don't know if some people may never looked at themselves if they're fruitful or they're barren. You know, when the Holy Spirit, when you accepted Christ, the Holy Spirit came and lived inside of you. And one of his gifts that he brought and he indwelled it in you is the fruit of the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit is 9 virtues, and it's love, peace, joy, goodness, gentleness, meekness, kindness, faith. You know, it's these things here. So when they say, are you fruitful, are you exhibiting these things in your life? I'm talking about the good soil now, y'all. You see, this soil is well prepared to produce a large crop because it received the seed with anticipation and expectations. Everything necessary for growth has been done, and it has a good foundation. These are the people who hear the word of God, understand it, and then, to the best of their ability, try to do it. You will not understand all things at once, but you got to keep pressing, y'all. You got to keep learning and growing in the knowledge of God to ensure a faithful harvest, a faithful, fruitful harvest. and y'all know I say this all the time. Where you are today has nothing to do with where you could be tomorrow. It depends on you and how fast and how far you go depends on you. We have to evaluate ourselves, y'all. If it's important to you, if it's not important, you just go around lackadaisical. You know, you study when it's you want, and you really. So many people I know really believe that they are afforded the privilege to make it up as they go. Because you see, if you tell them about church, they're gonna say church don't save you. So even though a church don't save it, common sense to me would tell people that the church building, because we are the church, but the church building must have some kind of purpose. If God ordained and put it in motion. So if God, Jesus Christ, did this, how could it be no reason? And then they'll say, everybody in the church ain't no good. First of all, if you looking for something, first of all, wherever God send you, if he wants you to go to church, he's going to provide what you need. Believe that. Because he said, if you're not, the door is going to be open. If you seek, you're going to find. So let's not think we are afforded the privilege to be able to be making rules and deciding what is necessary and not necessary concerning God, the Creator. Oh, you don't have to give money. Oh, you don't have to do this. What makes you think I'll tell you like God told Job. God said, have you ever made lightning thunder? Have you ever made thunder roar? Have you ever put a body of water in a place and made the boundaries where the water cannot come out? He told Job, he said, if you did this, and I forgot, he said, tell it to me now. But I just want to tell everybody, we cannot make it up as we go, because you're not afforded that privilege. You're not God. You're not Jesus. You're not the Holy Ghost. You didn't write the Bible. And God is our Creator. God is constantly molding and shaping us into his intended purpose, which is his work. See, that's God's work. And God is doing his thing in us daily. But you got to do your part. And all he asks us to do is cooperate. How many times the Holy Ghost, first of all, some of y'all don't know the Holy, some of us, sometimes people don't understand the voice of the Holy Spirit. God is talking to people, and they say, well, I've never heard God say anything to me. You know, it's in your spirit, not that you hear audio voice or anything. But the point I'm saying is you got to cooperate with the Holy Ghost. He's telling you things for your own good. And then when you get ready to do something and it's wrong, and something say, you know, that ain't right, that's the Holy Spirit. He's convicting you. The sower sows good seed, but not all seeds sprout up and become grown at the same time. Watch this, y'all. But the farmer waits patiently, and that's how Christ is waiting for us. That's how he waited for us. Because remember, when Christ came for us, we was wilding in sin, and he took us in. And we have to be patient with others. some people get saved and think they all are way at the top of a pinnacle or something. They look down on people, wonder what's wrong with you, how you didn't, you know, get straight with this yet and how you didn't get straight with that yet. And while they telling you all that, believe me, y'all, because the Bible says, you know, everybody falls short. While they telling you all that, believe me, they got shortness in them too. They got still got things they can work on with them, because the Bible teaches us a lifelong journey. So we'll never get to perfection. And we could never do enough to be righteous, so we're still hanging on the righteousness that God has given us. So let's not get it twisted. But okay. God is not looking for your perfection, but he's looking for your direction. So each one of us is in one of these type of soils, one of these. And I just thought about this, you know, a lady said all the time that our body is a flesh suit, a suit made of flesh. And then when we're talking about soil with the flesh, you know, the man was made from the dust of the ground, the dirt of the ground. When we look at these, remember, y'all, the seed that's on the wayside, hard head, and I want to have it your way. You get to make up what's necessary to please God. Then we have the stony places where there's a little soil, a little Jesus. And when the seed is, when you hear the word of God, it's not strong enough to hold up. And then there's the ones that's among the stones. That's like with 2 feet, 1 foot in and 1 foot out. And you allow the world, people, places, and things to choke the word out of you. And oh, there's the good ground. The farmer sows the seed connect in the soil. The harvest comes, and they keep producing and producing and learning and growing and sharing and caring. And they're productive. They're not barren. They become productive. They become builders in the kingdom of God here on earth. They begin to share, and they begin to care, and they begin to love, and they begin to do all these things. So again, I ask you, what type of soil are you? And as I close tonight, you see, they are the good soil, are the ones who listen in order to understand. God gives grace to those who hunger and thirst for his word. And they may understand his will and have the strength to live according to it. So I want to ask you tonight, do you hunger for God's word? And then I'll say, what type of soil are you? And when God gave us the definition and showed us the different type of soil that we are and how we receive in the word of God, another question I could ask you. You could just say this, I'm saved. Now what? That's our lesson for tonight. Anybody have anything to say, you could press the one button on your phone. Soil are you, baby? I'm just going to ask Tamika, because I know you always say something and you can't press another one. I won't be able to see it. So I'm going to just press the one button. I mean, I'm just going to open your mic. If you want to say something, you can. If not, you don't have to.
Denaya, I wanted to say thank you so very much for the teaching tonight. I personally, unfortunately, felt convicted because I'd be flip-flopping. Like you say, you know, you can't be saying that, you know, you trust God, you have faith, and then you're scared and you're allowing your circumstances to pretty much derail you, if you will, get you off course, distract you. So I pretty much needed to hear that. Thank you so very much for always breaking it down and giving us insight and always encouraging us. So thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Tamika. Sister Angelique, you had pressed the one button for the earlier two. So I'm going to just open your mic and you can say something if you want, and you don't have to if you don't want to. Oh, she must have hung up. All right. And Sister Pam, if you wanted to say something since you was our prayer warrior tonight.
Thank you for another beautiful lesson on tonight. May God continue using you. I received it, and I thank God for you. Love you.
All right. And y'all can press the button if you want to say something. I'm not going to put you on the spot next to a type of Sarah or you, because it's for you to know. It's for you. It's a part of your growth. It's a part of could be pleased with yourself and what you're doing with the things of God. Caller, your number is 205. Your mic is open.
Just wanted to say thank you for the beautiful lesson. I accidentally hung up the phone when it was my time to speak, and it was a great lesson because I know it's late, but I'm outside in my garden, and I'm all in the soil, and just I will always think of this message when I see my garden because it all came together. It was a beautiful lesson. Thank you so much for sharing. God bless you.
And bless you as well. Caller, your number is 908. I open your mic, 90812. Your mic is open.
Well, good evening, Sister Diane. I also enjoyed this message tonight because I'm sitting here saying, what is my soul? You know, I'm a work in progress, and my soul is not as strong where it will. When you drop the seed, it will grow. But I'm working towards that mark, and I thank you for that lesson tonight.
Praise God. And like I say, where you are tonight, well, I ain't got to tell you. You know. But where you are tonight has nothing to do where you're going to be. But you got to put in the work.
Yes, you do. You do.
And don't beat up on yourself because it's all right. But, you know, if you have a desire to grow, then you got to do some things to grow, you know. Everybody who you made people look at other people and think they got it going on so much, you know, or something like that, you got to put in the work. You got to study, and you got to pray, and you got to pray, and you got to study. And you got to be consistently studying.
Amen.
So you're in a good place, girl. God loves you. Let me tell all of y'all this, because y'all might take and do an inventory and figure what saw you in and get a little panicking. Let me tell y'all something, and I'm going to really get off because I don't want to hold y'all up. God cannot love you no more than he loves you right now. And I ain't guessing. I know what I'm talking about, because you got to remember, God chose you before you chose him, number one. He began to love on you before you loved on him, number two. When he sent his son to die, which was over 2,000 years ago, God had me and all of you in mind. And we could have been wilding in our sins, but he let him die and put everything in place that if we accept him, we would have eternal life. God cannot love you no more than he loved you right now. Now, after saying that, this is just the clinker. Because God loved you so much and he gave his son for you and he taking care of you this morning, he blew breath in you and you woke up and then you had a portion of your health and strength and he had food on your table and come on, y'all. And he did all of this. The point I'm saying is if God cannot love you no more than he loves you right now, but because God loves you so much, shouldn't you want to please him? Shouldn't you want to praise him? And that's what it's about. So I'm going to go ahead and close with a benediction that I think is appropriate for the lesson as well. It is found in the book of 2 Peter 3:18. And the scripture says, and it's Peter talking, y'all. See, Peter, when Jesus met Peter, I got to throw this in here, y'all. When Jesus met Peter, Peter was a hothead. He was a hothead. He was arrogant. He cursed a lot. He was stubborn. He thought more of himself than he ought to. But you see, he didn't give up. And he kept pressing and he kept studying and he kept learning. Now I'm giving 2 Peter 3:18 tonight for the benediction. And you see, this is after Peter had, God was working with Peter. And Peter began to work with God. And Peter began to learn and you know, some of the arrogance fell off and some of the cursing words fell off. You know, I don't know how long it took. I'm just telling you this. And now Peter wrote, God gave him the privilege to write two books in the Bible, 1 and 2 Peter. And by this time, Peter had matured in the things of God. Come on, y'all. He didn't start that way. But this is his finish because 2 Peter is the last thing that Peter wrote. And not long after that, Peter was killed. He was martyred for loving on Jesus. And you remember when Peter, one time he rebuked Jesus, he denied Jesus 3 times, he was walking on the water and stuff. I'm talking about that Peter, y'all. But you see right now when Peter wrote this here, he had matured. He had reverence, so much reverence for God because they was going to crucify him. But Peter, having so much reverence for Jesus, he told him, you can't hang me on the cross like you did Jesus because I'm not worthy. He said, you're going to put me on it, on there, and you're going to crucify me. He said, turn me upside down. Peter grew. And Peter is telling us tonight, and this is last writing, 2 Peter 3:18. He's asking us to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, now and forevermore, meaning keep growing. There's always something to learn. There's always something to do. He's saying, he promised that God will see you through. That's our lesson for tonight. If it's God's will and your desire, we'll meet back next week, same time, same number. I'm just telling you guys that I thank each and everyone for your condolence with the concerning the death of my brother. It's good for people to give you condolence. You know, we say the same thing all the time, but you know, it's good for to think somebody thought of you, you know? And I appreciate that. That's our lesson for today. And we'll be back on Wednesday if God said the same. So I want to say to everybody, God bless you. God keep you until we meet again. Amen, and be blessed. Good night, everybody. God loves you, and so do I. And there is nothing you could do about it. Good night.